First, we'll deal with the apologies before we get to introduce ourselves. I think there is a standing apology for Honorable Ndlozi, who will be here in November. But Honorable Shibambo is here representing EFF, so EFF is represented. And maybe because that's the only apology, maybe to start there, to say that Floyd Shibambo is a member of EFF and standing in for Honorable Ndlozi. If you want to introduce yourself, it will be lovely to hear your voice.
I'm also an alternate in this committee. I'm sure Tembi Nkosi has captured that when that was dealt with last year.
So, okay.
So I'm relevantly in this committee to deal with all the relevant issues.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Drachen, can you introduce yourself? I'm just allowing everybody to settle down so that...
Honorable Neo Drachen, or Mohan Neo Drachen, sorry, from the ANC, and voicing for me is the sign language interpreter Trudy. My second sign language interpreter is Armand Klenschmidt. Good day, everyone.
IFP?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm Liesel van der Merwe. I'm an IFP whip. I'm also an alternate on this committee, and I served as a full-time member of this committee between 2012 and 2014.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Courtney Mulder. I'm a member of Parliament and a concerned South African in this regard.
I'm Veronica van Dijk, I'm part of the committee, communication committee, and I'm also representing the DA.
Thank you. My name is James Self. I'm an alternate on this committee, and I'd like to record the apologies of Pumzile van Dam, who's in Washington attending a study course.
Narubuka Kana?
Thank you very much. I'm a member of Parliament and member of ANC. Thank you.
My name is Moss Staley. I'm a member of this portfolio committee on communications from the Atlanta Congress.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning. My name is Sisi Nobuzola Dolashe, member of the ANC, member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, and everyone present. I'm Sharon van Schalke, portfolio committee member and member of the ANC. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Mondli Kungubele. I'm here because of the ANC.
Thank you, Chair. The Romo Kalago, member of the committee, and ANC member.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everybody. My name is Mandisa Machoba, the member of this committee, ANC, from ANC Development.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Ellen Prince. I'm a member of the ANC, and I am a member or chairperson of the select committee of the NCOP. Thank you.
Morning, honorable members. Stellan Dabeni Abrams, member of parliament, currently serving as deputy minister of communication.
Minister.
Thank you. My name is Faith Mutandi. I'm a member of parliament and the minister of communication.
Can the board start?
Thank you, Chair. Brian Magube, Chairperson, SHBC Board.
Thank you, Chair. Aaron Chizumba, board member.
Charles Mesening, group executive, SABC.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is James Aguma. I'm the acting GCO.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Audrey Rapila, acting CFO.
Chairperson, my name is Chris Nairo, non-executive board member.
Good morning to everybody. My name is Vosumuz Mavoso. I'm a board member of the SABC.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Besi Tugwana. I'm the acting COO at SABC.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Teresa Heldenes, the company secretary of the SABC.
Is that all, Chairperson? Are your members done? Okay. Thank you very much. We're going to start our program. I hope everybody has an agenda in front of him or her. I was told that we're still waiting for the person bringing the presentation for the chair. Is that right? Okay. We'll just wait for you, Chair, so that you chair of the board, so that you start your presentation. But before that, Minister is there. If you want to say something before the board, make a presentation as the person in charge of the department, if there is something.
Chairperson, thank you so much. You recall on your invitation, you said to me that I need to also attend. This is the meeting for the board to come and account on the implementation of the Supreme Court of Appeal judgment. So I've just come here. I think the board is best placed to deal with the matters, but if there will be questions that are directed to me, then as an executive authority, I'll be able to respond to them.
No, I wanted you to say that, Minister. Members, we all have the presentation from the board. Welcome, Honorable Madisha. All of us do have the presentation, isn't it? Those who don't have, you'll get it as we go. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The committee under your chairmanship has directed a letter to me. So the issues that you wanted us to deliberate upon, we have responded in writing. To just give a summary, all the issues that are raised, we have responded to them and we have complied with the judgments. And I will, as time goes on, request perhaps the acting GCEO and maybe the company secretary to chip in here and there. So I'm not too sure whether Chair, you want me to deal precisely with that presentation. You will have to direct me as to how to do it. Should we deal with the presentation and the issues that you raised?
My correspondence to the board tabulated issues that we want the board to report on.
Yes.
And that's the presentation we expect the board to present in this meeting.
That's not a problem, Chair. The only problem that I have is that my documents are now mixed. I wanted them earlier so that I can sort them out. Can I request Company Secretary in the meantime to be my eyes? Then I will respond to questions. Company Secretary, please be my eyes.
Thank you. The first question that BPCC has requested information on was the implementation of the recommendations of the Public Protector's report when governance and ethics fail. From the presentation, you will note that the board approved the submission of a detailed implementation plan with supporting documents relating to the improvement of governance throughout the SABC. This was submitted to the Public Protector on the 22nd of August.
I thought it will be done differently. I thought the chairperson of the board needed the documents to be sorted out and so that you can make the presentation. No, that's fine. Yeah, I think, members, it's proper that the chair presents the presentation himself. Because the company secretary will only read, maybe the chair will read but also expand on some of the issues. Another member, Honorable Mbinda, walked in, a member of parliament. You can say yourself, Africa. You can introduce yourself.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, I'm Honorable Mbinda and I'm a member of parliament. Of course, I represent my organization.
My name is Fana Mukwena. I represent the EFF as a member of parliament. Thank you.
Okay. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The first thing that I want to deal with is the Western Cape High Court Davis J. The matter related to Democratic Alliance and SABC. The Democratic Alliance was against the appointment of Mr. Mtshweneng as Chief Operating Officer. So they believed his appointment was irrational and unlawful. I want to also make mention of the fact that, Chair, it is important to create a clear distinction between the appointment of Mr. Motshwenyi to the COO position, which the DA challenged, and his employment at the SADC. A clear distinction has to be made. We all know that Mr. Motshwenyi was an employee of the SABC at the time he was appointed as the COO, and further, that he was also an executive prior to that appointment. What Judge Davis found to be irrational, Chair, and unlawful was the appointment as COO, not his employment with the SABC. As far as the SABC is concerned, the employment of Mr. Motshwenyi to the SABC has never been challenged until he was appointed as the COO. Maybe I also need to read the paragraphs 52 and 53. In print is pages, it's page 28. It states, paragraph 52, there is a further implication which follows therefrom. As indicated earlier, the case is not about Mr. Motshwenyi, and I want us to underline that, Chair. The case has never been about Mr. Motshwenyi. Mr. Maneki, who appeared together with Ms. Raja on behalf of first to third respondents, submitted in his careful argument that there is no basis by which this court could determine the outcome of this disciplinary hearing. I want that as well to be underlined. Accordingly, if Mr. Motshwenyi is acquitted of all of the charges which are to be determined by a disciplinary tribunal, it was possible that he could be, he could then be considered for appointment as a permanent COO of the SABC. In other words, it would be a breach too far. A breach too far to grant the applicant relief within the terms sought, namely to direct the board to recommend the appointment of suitably qualified COO within 60 days of the order of this court, and hence ignore the outcome of the disciplinary process. That was paragraph 52. And 53 says, much has been made by respondents of Mr. Motshwenyi's achievements at the SABC and unique ability to be the COO of the SABC. If it is properly shown that none of the allegations made against him are sustainable, it would be unfair and hence premature at this stage to preclude him from such consideration. In summary, it is preferable to allow the relevant disciplinary proceedings to run its course and to reflect this finding in the order. Hence, I agree with Mr. Maneki so that this is the prudent course of action. Accordingly, I propose to tailor the order which is to be granted accordingly. Mr. Motshwenyi went Now, Mr. Mutsuni went through a transparent and independent disciplinary hearing. And he was cleared of all the charges, Chair. Based on the ruling above from Davis in the Western Cape High Court, case number 12497/2014, Mr. Mutsuni ought not to be excluded from applying for the position of the COO once it is advertised. In fact, the ruling did not, Chair and honorable members, exclude him from being appointed as the acting COO. What we also have to bear in mind, Chair and honorable members, is that in an earlier judgment, Judge Skiebers made a comment that he makes no findings on whether or not Mr. Mutsuni was guilty of improper conduct, maladministration or abuse of power. But instead, he ordered that Mr. Mutsuni be subjected to a disciplinary hearing that will be chaired by an independent chairperson. Chair, it is common knowledge that the SABC went beyond that by ensuring that both chairperson and the initiator were independent people. We even conducted this hearing live so that there wouldn't be any aspersions cast on SABC. During the disciplinary hearing, Mr. Mutsuni was not found guilty. Chairperson. That is the first matter that I wanted to address. Now let me address the second matter, which is about the Supreme Court of Appeal. The Supreme Court of Appeal, Chair, subsequently found no basis to interfere and dismissed the appeal because there were no prospects of success. The prospects of success was or is relating to the fact that the appointment was considered to be irrational and unlawful and has nothing to do with Mr. Mutsuni being an employee of the SABC. The third matter, that of Mr. Aguma, that he is laboring under an incorrect understanding that he has the necessary authority to appoint Mr. Mutsuni as a group executive without reference to the board and without reference to the human resource and employment policy and procedures of the organization. Chair, here without any consideration of the damning allegation that Mr. Mutsuni is the recipient of a substantial amount of money from the SABC without lawful reason, which allegation the public protector saw fit to investigate, and without any appreciation of the law and the principles of good governance, that the appointment of Mr. Mutsuni, albeit that he, Mr. Aguma, does not require board approval. this approval will have the intended or unintended consequences of subverting the rule of law. Clause 13.8.1 of the Memorandum of Incorporation, MOI, it stipulates the following check. It stipulates that the powers to appoint and to discipline staff and members of the SAB management team are delegated to the GCEO, CFO, and COO, and can only be revoked by the minister. This requirement is included under clause 4 of the Delegation of Authority Framework, DEF, regarding the appointment of the members of Group EXCO and top management on levels 110 and 115, and stipulates the authority granted by the MOI with the following business context. Appointment of all employees is subject to human resources appointment processes and budget approval for the position. The powers to appoint and to discipline staff and members of the SABC management team are delegated to the GCEO, CFO, and COO, and can only be revoked by the minister, MOI, that is 13.8.1. As a board member, I want to indicate that board members have approved the DEF. So what the GCEO, COO, and CFO did was within their powers to do so. I'm just scrolling down to go to the next point, Chair. Chair, I think in a nutshell, those are the issues that you wanted us to clarify. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, members. I'll come to you. Before we go to engagement, questions and clarities, and then engage. I was given members of the board as follows. You, Chair, Prof. Maguve, Dr. Chitumba, Mr. Mavuso, Mr. Naidu, from the executive, Mr. Akuma, Besi Tugwana, Audrey Rapela. I was given those. There are two people that are missing in the list, I'm told. I'm told it's Mtlakaza and Kumalo. Can we, having read all that, can we get explanation as to where these two are? Remember, we wanted the full complement of the board to be present at the meeting.
I'm sorry, Chair. I should have indicated that they have apologized due to prior engagements. The invite was circulated to all of us, but they unfortunately can't be here due to prior engagements.
Okay. That's the apology, members. In all what was presented here, we really need to, as we explain or respond to questions, we need to be very clear as to decisions of the board in relation to the presentation, the issues that are presented here. The board members are so many, and in decision making, here are the people, or decisions were taken by so many people. I think those are some of the issues, members, that the board, as they respond, must explain to the meeting. The board courageous to take decisions. The quorum must be present in taking decisions. I think we need to emphasize that so that we are clear. What are we talking about in relation to the presentation? Members, can I have you, Honorable Kalako, Honorable Kongubele, Honorable Tsedi, Honorable Self, Honorable Van der Melve, Honorable Shibambo, Honorable Madisha. In that order, Honorable Van Skalvik. And I know Honorable Van Dijk will follow Honorable Van Skalvik. Thank you. In that order, Honorable Kalako.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Chair, I see the and I've read the presentation, but I think the issue we are dealing with is not only an issue related only to the answers they have given us. Because the public protector's findings and remedial actions, they mentioned many things. It was not an issue of Mr. Mswanik only. It was about all many of the issues within the board, which the board was asked in the SAPC to actually correct them. In this presentation, the board, I haven't heard the board getting to that, which leads me to a question whether the board is aware of the public protector findings and remedial actions, and whether did it take responsibility to make sure that it implemented those findings. It's a pity, Chair, because this issue has been in the courts for a long time. Here in the committee, we didn't have time really to look at it, precisely because it was in courts. So, to me, I think the body will have to clarify us on that, on all the issues. For instance, there was a call for a public apology.
to affected people on decisions taken by the board. And also there have been mention of to correct any fruitless and wasteful expenditure. These are issues which the board must actually clarify from us and actually tell us whether it have really implemented. Because now everybody knows the public protector's recommendations are binding now. It's not an issue of, oh, okay, public protector. Everybody knows now that they are binding. And secondly, Chair, I will want the board to actually tell us how many meetings have they have convened as a board this year, and what resolutions have they taken. And also in considering this matter, did the board correct in all its meetings as it was taking all these positions and making changes in the board and SABC? So that, Chair, we are able to see whether problems which are emanating there in the SABC have been addressed thoroughly by the board, and they have implemented all what was proposed by the public protector. So to me, that is, and if you, Chair, you'll remember the board is 15, 12 non-executive and 3 executive. Now you have a situation where you have a group CEO, acting group CEO, find in that position CFO acting. Then you have now this other position. So it means already in the board, where the board will clarify that. Already in the board there's a shortage, despite other, we know that there are still vacancies which are not filled in the board, have not been filled yet. So that is why I'm asking this question, whether the decisions the board was taking, did it correct? Were those decisions legally binding? I think they will have to actually give us an explanation on that. The other one is, Chair, on the court cases which have been raging within the SABC board, within the SABC. What was the role of the board in that? Why did the board look into who actually, when it comes to costs, who paid the costs of all these court cases? Is it the SABC or individuals concerned? So I'll want a clarity on that, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. I tried to listen to the Chair of the Board and the assertions he's making with regard to what the court was concerned with and what the court was not concerned with. He seems to be having his own understanding what was the gist behind what determined the attitude of the court. But I want to leave that. The Chair will remember, and together with the board, that it is clearly known that from King Tree, for instance, the board is supposed to be the focal point of corporate governance. And if you go to company law in general, it's a tried principle that company must be seen to be a responsible corporate citizen, seen by the public. There is no longer an argument now that the public protector's remedial action have got legal effect and they are binding. That's a very important point I want to tell the board. Remedial action, they are binding. They are not there for the reviewal by the board. It appears that your DC seemed to sit to review the remedial actions of the public protector. Public protector had clear findings on the COO that time with regard to how he increases salary 3 times in a year, how certain officials were illegally promoted, how certain officials were illegally fired, lost in the CCMA, and all those issues. Those are clear findings of the public protector. And the Constitutional Court says those remedial actions of the public protector are binding. Now, my understanding, therefore, is that this is my own little understanding, that if they are binding, it means yours was to implement those remedial actions. Because if you had a different view, you had to ask the court to review them. And you did not do that. Remember, the court was dealing with issue of appointment, that was all. Now, if my assertion is correct, it doesn't make sense, therefore, if you are to be seen as a company with being responsible corporate citizen on issues of governance, you appoint an official who has not been acquitted on the list of issues the public protector has articulated, which you've not asked any court to review, but you decided through your own processes to set them aside. If that is the situation, the question that can be posed to you, did Mr. Mutsunen qualify to be appointed in any position in the SABC against this background? And I think this question, it begs the answer from the board. And remember, there are also issues here where the board that precedes you would have appointed a, would have recommended the appointment of a CFO. And it's on record, it's a public knowledge that different exercises were undergone, which again are viewed by the public protector as breach of the corporate governance principles and its imperatives. I don't want to spend a long time. I think this to me is a fundamental question that the board must respond to. That the remedial actions of the public protector, yours is to implement them. If you can't implement them, you've got a different view, court must review. We don't come across at what point did you do that. It will also be assisting, Chair, if we can be given a record of the script of the disciplinary processes.
Yeah, can you take that as one request that the committee is making from our side, the committee, from the board, the record? Because these things are important for us to be clear as to what has been happening. Honorable Sadie, I think.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. The process leading to the appointment of Mr. Mtsweni to the current position, we will appreciate if you can just be clarified. if there is a policy as well that relates to the process that led to the current position that we're talking about, we'll also appreciate if it can just be clarified, Chairperson. In your presentation, you talked about the reorganization of the structure of the SABC. And I'm interested in knowing whether the reorganization was done at the stage you needed to appoint him at the current position, or whether it was done before. And the last one, it's we're in a situation where three executives in current, in acting positions, acting GCE, acting COO, and the CFO. I'm interested in knowing from the board's perspective the effects of these acting positions to the affairs of the public broadcast. So we'll appreciate if the board can as well clarify the implications that these acting positions have to the running of the affairs of the SABC. And lastly, it is linked to the issue that was raised earlier on. It's with regard to the scope and the terms of reference of the disciplinary hearing that you spoke about, Chairperson, earlier on, as to whether at any given stage the board did deliberate on the scope or the terms of reference immediately after that pronouncement was made or a decision was taken to clear Mr. Mtswane as followed by the DC process. Thank you.
Let's finalize that question. The acting GCO, the acting CFO, and all of that. You say, what is the impact in the organization?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in.
But taking it forward, what has the board done so far in terms of stop the acting, acting and acting in SABC, but people full time? What has the board done in relation to fill the posts where they are acting people?
I think that's the point exactly that I was making. So if there is a plan of action that the board has to deal with that particular challenge,
that's right.
Because surely it has some implications.
Honorable sir, thanks.
Thank you very much indeed, Chairperson. In the first instance, I'd like to give the committee four copies of court cases that we have fought over this issue for the information of members, because I think they demonstrate a sorry history of ducking and diving and of obfuscation and of avoidance. Starting off with the avoidance of the very pertinent remedial action that was ordered by the public protector, and then avoiding the consequential actions or judgments of not only the Cape High Court on two occasions, but also the Supreme Court of Appeal. And I find that it is almost surreal that in the face of a Chapter 9 institution finding and judgments by three different courts, that we can find ourselves in this meeting still discussing whether or not Mr. Motsoeneng should or shouldn't be a member of the staff of the SABC. Now, this has gone a long way, and I'd hope that this is the beginning of the end of it, because the presentation that we saw here is at best disingenuous, because it doesn't address the real problems. It's sort of technical response which has characterized everything that the SABC has given in its court defense. But let's just start with the argument that the that Mr. Motsoeneng was cleared by a disciplinary hearing. That disciplinary hearing took place in mid-December last year. It was a complete farce. Critical people were not called as witnesses. No evidence was led at all in respect of one of the charges. It's wrongly sought to second guess the findings and remedial action of the public protector. And for that reason, the Democratic Alliance has taken that that disciplinary proceedings on review in the courts. And we are now awaiting a judgment on that matter. But it goes beyond that, in my view, because the Cape High Court and the SCA found that it was irrational and unlawful to appoint Mr. Motsoeneng as the COO, not only because of the public protector's remedial action, but also because of the cumulative damning findings they made about Mr. Motsoeneng in the course of that report. And those findings and remedial action are binding unless they are set aside on review. Now, my understanding is the SABC has, in fact, launched a review application or seeks or purports to want to do so, which brings me to the point that was already being raised here around the legal fees. I mean, we are now litigating in millions of rands. According to the latest SABC annual report, the legal fees went up from 171 million to 257 million rands. And I would argue that if people want to litigate to look after their positions, they must litigate in their personal capacities and pay for the court cases themselves. They cannot make the corporation pay for it. So that's the one aspect. Then let's come on to the appointment of the General Executive, Chief Executive Corporate Affairs. And it is true on one narrow definition that the appointment was lawful because it was made by the right people or the right person. But there are two other aspects that I think are relevant in this respect. And Mr. Justice Davis found that Mr. Motsoeneng could not be precluded from consideration and the staff position because it was possible that the public protector's findings would be proved false. Now, there's only one way in which the public protector's findings can be found to be false, and that is if you take the matter on review. That action has not yet happened, and it can only happen if her findings are reviewed and set aside by a court. It is plainly contrary, in our view, to the findings of three courts to appoint Mr. Motsoeneng as the Chief Executive Corporate Affairs while the public protector's findings still stand. And I think we need some very honest answers out of the board, because it is true, as I said, that people can make that decision and it's not a board decision. But the board has a fiduciary duty to oversee the activities of the chief executives. And if it fails to exercise that power, then it becomes complicit in unlawful and bad decisions that are taken by the management of the SABC. Quite apart from the fact that it was against the law in our view. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to firstly say, Chairperson, that I think the presentation that we've been given today is an absolute, it's just not, it cannot suffice. I think the information that we've been presented with is mere smoke and mirror type of arguments and explanations that this board is advancing. And I think first and foremost, we must acknowledge today that we've got a politically compromised board that is sitting in front of us, that are not only have not only ignored binding findings by the public protector, but have willfully and purposefully ignored court findings. You are also not adhering to the Broadcasting Act. You are not complying with your fiduciary duties. That's why we've seen another 400 million rand loss. And so I think the chairperson is quite right when he says this is not only about Mr. Motsoeneng. It's not only about Mr. Motsoeneng. It's about a board that has failed this organization. And I listened to what Mr. The chairperson said in terms of who decided to give Mr. Motsoeneng his job back, his old job back. And that is all fine and well because you do have those powers, CEO. But the fact of the matter is the public protector's findings, as my colleagues have said, are binding. And no DC or a kangaroo DC court that was instituted could actually overturn those findings. And Chairperson, I also want to have some clarity today in terms of the increase in salary that Mr. Motsoeneng has again received. Also, there are reports of another bonus that Mr. Motsoeneng has received of 11 point something million. And I think we need to hear, get some clarity on that issue. The Honourable Self has just spoken about frivolous court cases or court cases. And I think we need also today to hear about whether this board will be collectively held responsible for the expenditure for these frivolous court cases. I also, watching the press conference where Mr. Maguve had actually announced to South Africans that he is reappointing Mr. Motsoeneng into his old position, I also want to say that I take great offense to both the CEO and the professor, the chairperson of the board, again saying that political parties should not interfere in the affairs of the public broadcaster. In my mind, you are then saying to every South African that you are not a stakeholder in the public broadcaster. You are saying, hands off, you do as you please. We as ordinary South Africans that are expected to pay TV licenses, we are not allowed to make any inputs or give any insights into the public broadcast. And I think it shows very poor leadership on behalf of the board that you, again, every time when you're at a press conference, every time when you address critical issues which South Africans are concerned about, you want to blame political parties or opposition parties. And I really think it's time for this board to acknowledge that you've failed in your duties, that you are no longer fit and proper to be a board that leads the public broadcaster. And I think eventually we'll have to get to the point where we talk about the elephant in the room, and I'm not talking about Mr. Motsoeneng because he's not a board member, but about how we got to the point of appointing this board, because I served on this portfolio committee between 2012 and 2014, and it was a very difficult process because I said at the start, this is a politically compromised board, Chairperson, because while we were interviewing each and every member that serves on this board, political interference were part and parcel of how we got to appoint this board. And once you appoint cadres to a board, then you'll have a situation which we've got here. So if we do get to that point where we go for an inquiry or we talk about whether this board is still fit for purpose, we must also talk about the failed process that led us to appointing this board, Chairperson. That being said, I think we really need answers today from this board. You have failed us because this is not just about Mr. Motsoeneng. It's about the rule of law. It's about doing what is right and what is wrong. And I feel sorry for Mr. Naidu here, because he's actually been brave enough to speak out against the actions of the board. And one also thinks about the bravery of the late Hope Zinde, for example. But let us leave here today with the common understanding, Chairperson, that we need to rescue the public broadcaster from a board that is no longer fit to lead it, Chairperson.
Honorable Shivambo.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks, Chair. One of the most important judgments in South Africa since constitutional democracy, which includes everyone, was the judgment delivered on the 31st of March by the Chief Justice on the matter between the Economic Freedom Fighters and the Speaker of the National Assembly, which put to rest the powers of the public protector, whether they are binding or not, whether the remedial actions are recommendations or not. And part of that judgment says that the investigative powers of the public protector are not supposed to bow down to anybody, not even to the door of the highest chamber of royal state power. That same judgment also says that if compliance with remedial action were optional, the very few culprits, if any at all, will allow it to have any effect. It also says that the public protector would arguably have no dignity and be ineffective if her directives could be ignored willy-nilly. Those are some of the things that are contained in the judgment affirming the powers of the public protector. And the interesting thing that relates to this question is that that court also expressed itself on what happens if those who are supposed to comply with the public protector remedial actions engage in a parallel process. With regards to the case that was taken to the Concord, the Chief Justice said that the end results of the two streams of investigative processes were mutually destructive. And it says then that the President should have decided whether to comply with the public protector remedial action or not. If not, then much more than his mere contentment with the correctness of his own report was called for. A branch of government vested with the authority to resolve disputes by the application of law should have been approached, and that is the judiciary. Only after a court of law had set aside the findings and remedial action taken by the public protector would it have been open to the President to disregard the public protector's report. Now, we're speaking about the President here of the Republic, the head of state, who is instructed by the Constitutional Court to abide by the remedial action of the public protector. Now, what are the findings of the public protector on the SABC? Maybe we must beg your indulgence, and then I'll take you through some of the findings of the public protector on Mr. Mutswane, whom I've never got to meet with him anyway. I see him on television saying that he gets out of all troubles. He's MacGyver of our days, who, even when situations are very difficult, want to see how it's going to pan out this time. Part of the findings of the public protector is that the allegation that Mr. Metsoning committed fraud by stating in his application form that he had completed matric from Metsimanso High School is substantiated, meaning that it's there. By his own admission, Mr. Metsoning stated in his application form that he had passed matric standard 10, made up symbols in the same application form and promised to supply him a matric certificate to confirm his qualifications when he knew he had not completed matric and did not have the promised certificate. He admitted it in the public protector interview process. There is verbatim reflection of him saying that a Miss Swanepoel told him to fill in a fake information about his matric status. And the public protector further finds that the allegation that Mr. Mutswaneng was appointed to several posts at the SABC despite having no qualifications as required for such posts, including a matric certificate, is substantiated, and this constitutes improper conduct and maladministration. So while sitting with an acting executive of something, I don't know what it is, because he becomes everything he wants to be, who has been appointed through an improper conduct and through maladministration. And then we must sit here, still have to listen to a board that wants to protect such a person, despite the fact that these findings have not been subjected to a judicial review. And even if you disagree as board members, your right to differ is insignificant. It dwindles into insignificance altogether. Once there's been a ruling that these are the situations, you have to abide by that. You can't engage in a parallel process that deliberately reaches a different conclusion. Parliament attempted that. The Minister of Police attempted to do that. They went to Nkandla to show bioscope and trying to justify a swimming pool as a fire pool and all sorts of things. And it all fell flat when the Crown Court said that all those activities that you're engaging in are illegal. You have to abide by the rule of law. So the board can't even mention a disciplinary process, a fast disciplinary process that ignored the core findings which they have not judicially reviewed. So unless these findings are judicially reviewed, they hold legal status that must guide what the board does in everything else that was supposed to do. So in fact, I was sitting with an illegal appointee in SABC, not even as a COO, not even as an employee, even as a sweeper. If it requires a matric certificate, the public protector says that he's not supposed to be appointed there because those are the findings. We can challenge that in a court of law, not on a process that we have self-appointed ourselves. Let us deal with the way forward. What should happen? Number one is that the board must be instructed to reverse the appointment of Mr. Metsoni because such appointment constituted maladministration and proper conduct. That is what should actively happen. And number two, we should as Parliament institute an inquiry into the fitness of the board to continue as the board of the SABC. One, we must investigate their suitability to carry full fiduciary responsibilities as is required by the board charter of the SABC. So fiduciary responsibility would mean that it's a position of trust that we as the public, of the public broadcaster, the public, it's all of us here, we represent the public, we're public representatives. Can we trust the board to carry forward proper management of an institution that is supposed to educate the nation, inform it on critical information in terms of what should happen? But also we should have an inquiry on the board's inability to stabilize the management at the SABC, because everyone else is acting there. We know that television goes hand in glove with acting, but not at management level. Acting happens on the screens and generations and all those things there. But at management level, we need stability. It can't be for a very long time, this acting CFO, acting CEO, acting COO, acting executive corporate affairs, acting special projects, acting everything. All those actors must fall. There must be stable leadership. And it's not even an issue of negotiation. It's an instruction that you have to be given. We are not here to represent our jackets, and we are here to represent the people of South Africa. And the people of South Africa expect that there must be stability in all public institutions. And that is what should happen in the SABC. But also, I get a sense that they are board members who were appointed by Parliament and got removed by the board itself without consulting Parliament and the appointing authority. That is illegal. Where do you get the power to remove board members? Who gives you the power? Because we never appointed you to go. Even your board charter, there's no piece of legislation that empowers any of you to remove board members, because you never appointed them. The people who appointed that, it's us as Parliament who recommended to a president to appoint. So that is there's a process that is outlined in the board charter on how members of the board are removed. So in concrete terms, I don't think that we must tiptoe around an inefficient, clumsy board of the SABC that comes with a lousy presentation here. Doesn't say exactly what they've done with each and every remedial action of the public protector, and says that everything else is fine. We say there, what are the implications of the SCA judgment? What are the implications of the High Court judgments? And then they say there's no implication. That is pure arrogance that is being displayed in front of us here. We must take action, and we have to take action now, because we cannot continue to be run like that. The time of games has come to an end. Thank you very much.
I'll come to you, Honorable Van Schalkwyk, and then to Dr. Mulder. Honorable Tolashe, Honorable Van Dijk. Anyone else? Honorable Machoba. Can I say this, members? Let us for now engage on the report that we were given. There will be time when we must look at all these issues that members are saying in terms of the fitness of the board. There will be that time. For now, let us engage, and the processes will follow where the committee will have to engage and with itself and take a resolution on what must be done. I think let's do that. Let's move towards engaging the report, punch holes, criticize, and do all of that. But at the end, we'll have to come to a session where we say, this is what we have got from the board, and therefore, what do we do as the committee? Can you move towards that direction at some stage? Honorable Van Schalvik.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is directed to the Chairperson of the Board who made the presentation. He's mentioning that on the 25th of February 2016, the Board approved the reorganized structure, which includes the renaming of the GE stakeholder position to the GE corporate affairs position. So I would like to know, when you changed that position, how did that impact on the benefits, salary, and the status of the new position versus the old position? And then afterwards, after the judgment has been implemented by the SCBC or tried to be implemented, you've mentioned that the only position that was relevant to Mr. Mutuaneng was the position of GE Corporate Affairs, as he didn't have the competency to occupy the position of GE HR that was vacant. So I would like to know the position that is currently employed in, that he was moved to, that was upgraded in February. Was that position vacant when he was appointed or not? And if not, how did it came about that he occupies that position? And also the processes that has been followed to occupy or let him occupy that position, because we know that there is employment processes, internal employment processes that needs to be followed in order to let someone occupy a specific position. So can you just clarify that? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity. The Honourable Van der Merwe referred to a press conference that she watched recently by the SABC. Now, I watched another one recently, and I saw the acting COO talking to the media, and he said, well, you were all expecting a R1 billion deficit. It's only R400 million. Now, that was, to me, a rather strong red light of what's technically happening around the SABC, unfortunately. And I'm happy this morning, Chairperson, that it's not only the board that is present. We've also got the top management, the executive management of the SABC itself present, because we should not only focus on the board, because the board is not there on a day-to-day basis. The SABC is being run by the management, the executive management of the corporation. The board comes from time to time, and yes, of course, they've got a fiduciary duty, but the emphasis should also be on top management. Now, there was a time not very long ago that the SABC was the gold standard of broadcasting in South Africa. And I'm afraid we all know what the current situation basically is. Now, I've got sympathy with the board and the management with regard to the implementation of the actions taken by the public protector. Because the public protector's report was some time ago, and then you had the disciplinary hearing, and you referred to that just now, in December of last year. At the time when those things happened, we did not already have the court case of the Constitutional Court in March of this year, which now clarified once and for all what should happen in terms of remedial action expressly put into place by the public protector. And unfortunately, that question marks being put on the actions of the public protector started here in Parliament. So you obviously took the key from there. But now we know what should happen in terms of the remedial action taken by the public protector, also with regard to the SABC. Now, in the report that we've received today, the feedback that we've received creates the impression, or it tries to state, that everything is fine. There's no problem, everything has been handled, there was a disciplinary committee, etc., etc. But that cannot be relevant anymore, because the SABC should now know what the Constitutional Court found in its very precise judgment with regard to the public protector. So you can ignore what the disciplinary committee said, and you should implement the findings and the remedial action taken by the public protector. Two things that bother me, Chairperson, and you're correct, we should deal with those things at some stage. The one has been referred to the salary increases received by Mr. Motseneng 2013, 2014, and after that. And we all know the figures, 1.4 million, and then very shortly after that to 1.7, that's a 21% increase, and then it jumped to 2.4 million, that's another 41% increase 4 months later. But maybe at the bottom of everything is this very disturbing figure that I see, that in the recent past, more than 53% of the staff of the SABC has resigned. Why would that be? Maybe we should start there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Fonte.
Chair, Section 11.3 of the Public Reporters Report outlined that the remedial action that should be taken by the SABC Board, and it says that all monies which were irregularly spent through unlawful and improper actions should be recovered from the appropriate persons. And my question would be, if any of the fruitful and wasteful expenditure that has been incurred as a result of the irregular salary increments to Mr. Motseneng, Ms. Motsweni, Ms. Kumala, if that has been recovered from the appropriate persons, and if not, why not? And I would also like to know the board, if it also, according to this actions that they should have been taken, the appropriate disciplinary actions, if they followed that with regards to, it points out in 2.AA that I want to know what disciplinary actions has been taken towards Mr. Motseneng for his dishonesty relating to the misinterpretations of his qualifications, the abuse of power and the improper conduct of the appointments and salary increments of Ms. Sally Motsweni, and for his role in the purging of senior staff members resulting in numerous labour disputes and settlements awards against the SABC. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Madisha. Sorry, I jumped you.
It's okay. My chairperson, permit me to once again indicate that the SABC belongs to the people of our country. And we cannot allow any one individual to destroy that which belongs to more than 50 million people of South Africa. We can't. Now, let me first start with the board, because it's a group of two persons, a group of one person, who is the culprit here, permit me to say that, and a group of many persons, which is the board, okay? May I check with the honorable respect, my chairperson, why has the board employed and again saved a fraudster? Why have they done that? It's a fraudster because here we're dealing with a person who misrepresents his qualifications. Are we therefore sure, as the representatives of South Africa, that he will be or will he continue to be less fraudulent as he continues to do that kind of thing? I wish to say that, in my own opinion, the antithesis is the case. We're dealing here, I want to emphasize to the board that we're dealing with a fraudster. Because in the very same way, persons who have gone out, looked for jobs, shown those kind of certificates, etc., they have been indicated, it has been said that they're fraudsters. I'm therefore moving from that president. Now, the increments of monies, of salaries, despite the fact that he does not have the qualifications, okay, that is a major, major problem. My chairperson, Ntegas, move out. The children are not going to school. The students are not going to school. We have all these kind of problems. And here is a person who, despite the fact that almost 4,000 people in SABC are not getting any increments, here is a person who will take more than 3 million, have that increase to more than 4 million, who will take that within a very short period of time up. A person who will get more than 11 million rand, they say that that is a bonus. And they further go on and say that is not enough. You'll get 33 million again. Is the board doing okay for us? This is the question that I'm putting through you, as my chairperson. Is that proper? Because our country is collapsing. Our country, economically, our children are faced with this kind of a problem. And you have a person who takes that which belongs to the people and does whatever he wants. And when the people say, but here you are wrong, he climbs on the stages and starts, you know, saying there is nothing that you can do to me, etc. And when we call the board here to say, can we talk to you, he sits with the board as if he's a member of the board. Kindly, please, let's, and actually advises them that you must say this, etc. So I'm putting that to you, my chairperson, as part of the questions that I am raising. I further am saying that, is it proper that he goes on to ill-treat workers, he goes on to fire workers, just because of they are requesting for, you know, nothing, and thereafter he says, come back, it's okay, and so on. I'm putting that to the board via you, because I'm talking here about a person who I wish to re-emphasize is a fraudster. And I'm coming back now to the board, the second person directly. I say to the board that you are unfit. Can you say to me that you are fit, and the you know, members of parliament here, that you are fit? Because if you go on and ignore the law, that is a problem. I mean, even the president of our country, whom I respect very much, has reason to say, but no, please, board, let's look into this thing. But then the board has ignored that. Even when the majority party, I mean, that is an open secret, has reason to say there is a problem here, can we do something? That has been ignored. Can we therefore say, through you, Chairperson, that the board is fit to do that? The board that says to the public protector, you can't tell us anything, that tells the Western Cape High Court, you can't tell us anything. The Supreme Court of Appeal, you can't tell us anything. And the board that, instead of addressing the problems, it shifts this, permit me once again to say, fraudster, to from one high position to another very high position. What do we do as the 50 million people of this country? And permit me to end by asking, you as the board have asked, I'm sorry, have indicated that you have come up with a DC, disciplinary committee. Who appointed that? What were the processes? What did it have to follow? Those particular processes, who drew them? I say this because, in my own opinion, you are part and parcel of this whole thing. And therefore, I believe that there are very serious problems. And like my and all the other MPs here, honorable MPs have said, I think we have a very, very serious problem. And you as members of the board, don't you just want to go to meetings every time because of the amounts of money that you get for meetings? I mean, from one meeting to the other. I know that in the past it would be 5,000 per meeting, 5,000 per meeting. It now has gone up. Is it not? Is that not part and parcel of this whole thing? Are you fit?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll give Honorable Machoba, Honorable Tolashe, Honorable Mbinda. This is the first round. I want the board to respond. But before you, Honorable Machoba, let's tone down on the language. The fraudster, for someone who cannot respond, it's not proper.
The public protector report says that Saudi has fraudulently represented his matric certificate. If you fraudulently represent something, you become a fraudster.
We understand.
So it's English, it's basic language that if you represent something wrongly through fraud, that means you become a fraudster. There's nothing unparliamentary and wrong with what Honorable Madisha is saying.
Honorable Shivambo, please. I'm not saying it's unparliamentary, but when you call a person a fraudster, I understand English. A person who's fraudulent. But this is a discussion that we must handle carefully. I'm raising it because this is what I said in the last meeting when he was going on to say members are not honorable. At the end, I said, it's not correct. You can't have members of parliament that are told by the official are not honorable. This is what I said. And I think, and again, when I was talking to one of these radios, because they continued to play what he was saying and never played what was the chairperson was saying. Let us be very careful. I understand, but let us be careful so that at the end we can do what we want to do. I know he cannot stand up and defend himself, but the board will have to respond. I understand you, Honorable Shibambo, very well on that one. I wanted to raise that, member, so that we tone down a bit on our language, because, you know, people are human beings. Bantu na bantu. So let's not careful, but let's think of other people. I think we've heard Honorable Madisha. It's fine, but I'm saying tone down in that kind of level.
With your permission, for the sake of the 50 million people, we shall tone down as long as they are respected.
Okay.
50 million people.
Thank you very much.
Even if you take anything from them.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the board members to give us this screening report. My first question, Chair, I have only two questions. I just need the clarity around them. Before Mr. Motsoaledi was irregularly appointed as an acting COO, what was his position before? And what was his package? Number two, who occupied the position before and why was she removed? What processes was followed to remove her or him? In the issue of appointment of Mr. Motsoaledi in the position after the COO, Matshwaneng, I'm very sorry to announce your name badly. When was the vacancy of the general employee created? Who created it and what were the recruitment procedures followed? When was the vacancy of group executive, corporate service and provinces created? Who created it and what were the recruitment procedures followed? I just need those three clarity. Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Motsoaledi. Honorable Tolashe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, my first question to the Chairperson of the Board. I just want to hear from him whether he understands how the SAPC is being established according to the law that governs this country. Because for me, in my mind, when he raised in public the fact that the political parties should not be involved in the dealings of the SAPC, then I had this question that whether the Honorable Chair in fact understand how the SAPC is established, because in my understanding, these are the people who are responsible to make sure that the constitution of this country is being implemented, and correctly so. And therefore, they have a responsibility to oversee any institution that has been established according to that constitution to make sure that they are able to really do what they're expected to do. If he is, if he understands, is he prepared to apologize to the 50 million of this country? Because for me, what he said was, or what he did was a total disregard of the citizens of this country who went through a very difficult situation to make sure that the 1994 agenda is being achieved. And those are the people who are the most important people in whatever we're doing. And if he said, in fact, he said what he said on the TV, does he understand the implications? Because for me, that was the total disregard of the very constitution that established all these entities. Secondly, Honorable Chairperson, I hear the report saying they've tried to implement the public protector's report. How far did they go? Because I'm seated here with a huge document that talks to all that.
can they rate themselves to say we went 10%? Because for me, the only issue that I see they've tried, we'll judge them later if we're happy on how they've really tried to, is the issue of the misimplement thing. But everything else has not been touched. There are monies that are questionable that needs to be recouped from different people for different reasons. I don't hear the report talking to that. And the last one, Chairperson. The appointment and the suspension of the GCEO. In that one, Chairperson, I just want to hear whether there's a policy in the SABC to get involved into all this, because I get to hear that at some point the court find that he was incorrectly appointed. The management, whoever responsible, took a decision to reappoint him to another position. Whether this is in line with the laws that govern this country, because we know how this process is supposed to be followed. Whether it's SABC or the National Assembly or anybody else, there should be a process that really is put in place and agreed upon to say, when Tolasha is being removed because she has been appointed wrongly, then there's a process of advertisement and looking for a suitable person. But as I read from what the chairperson has just reported, little of that has taken place. And if it did, can you tell us really in detail how did it happen? Because this creates a problem for me. Hence, I agree with the member that says, when did this happen? Because you might have an impression that this was just an arrangement between friends. When she's dropped in this position, then we can quickly overnight rearrange so that you can give him the same salary and the same package. I don't want to conclude as such, Chairperson, but I want to get the detail on how did we get there. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Mbinda.
Thanks, Chair. Without repeating what other honorable members have said, I understand that we should be dealing with policy-related issues here as the honorable members. And I am not sure. I'm sure when you give your response, you will be obviously giving us clarity on your recruitment policy to answer some of the questions that have been asked, and also your remuneration policy. You see, because there are so many issues that have been raised, and I don't want to see myself, you know, involving myself in such issues. But at least if we can be cleared as the committee. And also this issue about Ntate Tlaudi, maybe you need to explain to us whether he has actually misrepresented his qualification. You see, I don't want only to deal with the issue of metric, because I understand that these days, if you have your NQF levels and they are equated to M plus 3, M plus 4, then it becomes now a different ball game. So I just want you to explain so that we do not, I understand the findings and I understand of the public protector that they have never been, you have never reviewed them in court. And then immediately you don't do that, then that's where the problem is, then they become now binding as what other honorable members. But I'm just saying in your response, you just clarify those issues so that at least by the time we get out of here, at least we know exactly what actually happened. I will not go to other issues, but if you are seen now to be slanting the system, the very system, then that's where the issue of your fitness comes in, and you, I'm sure you know, in terms of your fiduciary duties, that you should not be doing that. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mkwena.
Oh, I thought you were going to take some time to get to me. No, Chair, I just wanted to raise the issue of of corporate governance, you know, the report seems to be dealing with superficial issues of who's responsible for what and so on and so forth. And I think the board is relying on a legislative loophole that there's a certain level at which parliament or government cannot interfere as a shareholder in the SABC. But I think there are much bigger issues. The King III report and the OECD recommendations on corporate governance in I think it's chapter 6 that deals specifically with the board, the role of the board. It says that the board must act in the highest ethical standards and act in the interest of the shareholder. And I think that's the key issue we need to consider here. The ramifications of what you do as a board, I think go beyond the responsibilities of government or parliament and so on and so forth, which the board seems to be hiding behind. The public protector report has recommended, or at least has made a finding that there was fraudulent act in the appointment of Mr. Motsoeneng. If you then go and reappoint the same person whom the public protector has found to be fraudulent in another position in the same organization, your corporate you've literally gone over your corporate governance principles, because it means that the credibility of the organization that you represent or you preside over is now in question. And that I think that is the bigger question that needs to be dealt with here, beyond legislation and who's responsible for what and so on and so forth. You need to look at, as the board, your responsibility in corporate governance is to protect the credibility of the organization. That is the first point I wanted to make. The second point is that the it said that we come to sit and listen to the board to give us a proper report, a full report on their actions or their response to the remedial actions by the public protector. And they come here and give us a report on one issue of one person. I think it shows the level to which Parliament is not taken serious. You know, you're just here literally to come and protect one person, when there's a whole host of issues that you are supposed to respond to. I think that at that level, Chairperson, we need then to question the motives of the board coming here to speak in front of Parliament. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it looks like all members have spoken. We're going to take responses. And then after that, break for lunch. Hopefully, the restaurants are open, because you pay for your own lunch. Whilst the board is preparing for responses, I wanted to alert you that you will dig deep in your pockets for lunch. Professor?
I want to deal with the last matter, where it is being said that the board didn't respond to a whole host of issues. Chair, I want Company Secretary to read the letter sent to me on the 26th of September and another sent to me on the 30th of September. Then honorable members will judge me whether that whole host of issues were not addressed. Can you please, they are very short. Can you read those letters, Company Secretary? The one dated 26th of September. As she's still trying to get the document, let me deal with another matter, that of one of the honorable members who stated that 53% of SAB staff members resigned. If my calculations are correct, we have over 4,000 staff members, and 53% would amount to plus or minus 2,120, if my calculations are correct. We don't have that number of resignations, Chair. That is why I, from time to time, say we should be mindful and careful of what we say, because the facts that we have and the evidence that we have, we can provide this committee with that hard evidence that we never had over 2,000 resignations. Dealing with the issue of the public protector, Chair, we have on several occasions indicated that we have taken her findings on review. And this is what I want to also mention today, that the matter is subjudicate. It has been taken for review. The same applies to the appointment and removal of board members. That is also subject to check. Those are court matters to adjudicate on. when it comes to other issues, Chair, whereby now certain things are raised which were not part of the brief from your letter, I would request that we be given ample time and will respond in writing. The issue of 400 million loss, next week, Tuesday, we are tabling our annual report, Chair. It can be addressed there. It was not part of the brief. I hope the company secretary got those documents. Please read them.
This is
can questions be responded to? The letter can be read. I know that.
I am responding to the questions, Chair, because a perception is being created that there was a whole host of issues which were not addressed.
Okay.
And your letter, Chair, outlined those issues.
Yes.
So I want members to know those issues which were outlined, and those that they are referring to as a whole host of them not being addressed. That is why I'm saying they were not contained in your letter.
Okay.
So I wanted to demonstrate that the issues that they are raising, Chair, are not contained in your letter. So I don't know which whole host of issues have we left out in our response.
Okay. Honorable Kongwela.
Thank you. I think the chair of the board must take this committee very seriously. You wrote a letter, it's correct. But they are a board which is seized with these activities on day-to-day basis. To say they will only answer things that are in the letter, it boggles one's mind. And I think the chairperson of the board must be advised that the committee understand what their job is and what is expected to be known by them on day to day. He cannot say he will only answer what is this? There are issues that have happened, thousands of them. And I think he must be advised to respect the committee.
Professor.
You know, Chair, the problem is that one wouldn't know, Chair, what is in the minds of honorable members. If we knew, Chair, with due respect, we could have...
Just hold on, Professor, just hold on. Honorable Tsedi, and because I think the professor is messing up the meeting.
No.
You are disorganizing my meeting as the chair. Honorable members, the professor is disorganizing my meeting. We wrote a letter. We specified the issues. But we cannot write everything in a letter for people who are handling matters of SABC. You know, there are so many questions here that we cannot put in a letter. We say in a letter. These are the issues to respond as the board. But you can't confine yourself to those five issues, whereas you know your scope of operation as the board. I think that's what the members are saying. Honorable Tsedi.
Honorable Chair, my take is that we have invited the board to this meeting. We did not invite the chairperson of the board to this meeting. There are three executive members who are as well part of the board, who can as well in their capacities as members of the board try and clarify some of the issues raised. So all I'm saying is that the chairperson should not find himself in a problem where there are situations in which some of the issues can still be handled by some other people, including the three executives, acting GCE, acting CFO, and acting COO. In my understanding, they are as well part of the board. So all I'm saying is that let him allow the rest of the members of the board to clarify some of the issues. Easy is not in the position to deal with some of them. Thanks.
Honorable Fundamera and Honorable Tolash.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to align myself to the previous speaker. Parliament is not in session at the moment. You had to specifically request for us to meet. This is an issue of national importance. The SABC is facing a crisis. Parliament is currently closed. We are convened here to discuss the issues around the public broadcast. It cannot be that when we especially apply to discuss issues that concerns the public, that the chairperson of this board tells us we can discuss it next week. There's not going to be a next week. The next week we'll discuss other issues. We are here to discuss governance. We are here to discuss Mr. Motsoaneng's appointment and other issues. If the chairperson feels uncomfortable to answer questions, he's got his entire board here that can assist him to answer the questions. We have set aside time specifically for this, and please, you must respect this committee, please.
Can we do that, members, without delaying the meeting? Can we allow other members of the board, if the chairperson is unable, because I must emphasize this, if the chairperson of the board is unable to answer some of the questions, there is a whole delegation of the board here. Chairperson, delegate to your members of the board.
Let me allow acting GCEO to respond to some of these matters.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to select a couple of matters that I can talk to, because to be honest, there have been quite many. So I'll try and just select those that I can't talk to, then my colleagues as chairperson has said we'll talk to the others. The first thing that we need, that I need to talk to would be probably the question of Honorable Self, where he stated that the legal costs of the SABC has increased from 171 million to 250 million. I imagine that that's an extract from the annual financial statements, which we shall deal with in detail next week. But let me just say that that amount of disclosure in that note is not actually for the cost of it's not the cost of legal fees. It's actually legal claims against the SABC. So it's a provision for legal claims. And what that means is essentially it's an accounting term that refers to a liability of an uncertain amount or timing. So what happens is that the SABC could be sued by anybody for whatever reason, and we're saying that when we compile all the cases that the SABC is exposed to, then the lawyers will tell us that if everything went against us as the SABC, the potential liability is prior year, which was 14-15, was 171 million, and they're saying it's this year their estimate of the same liability is 250 million. So it's not the cost of paying lawyers, it is the potential cost that the SABC will be exposed to through if litigants claim against the SABC. So I think that one needs to be corrected. It's not the price, or rather the cost of paying lawyers. I just need to put that to rest. Then the second other matter that I want to talk about, I know we're going to have a detailed report on the annual financial statements, is I think Dr. Mulder talked about 53% of employees resigning. That's not true. What it is in the annual report, 199 employees left the organization in that financial year. Of those, 53% resigned. Now the question is, why? We came here and said that we had a situation where there was medical aid fraud at the SABC, for which 123 people were implicated. Some of them chose to resign. So it's not correct that 53% of the total population resigned, because I can tell you in 14-15, we had 3,875 employees at the SABC. This year we have 3,835. So there's no possibility that half could have resigned. Let's just put that to rest. The other issue that I want to talk about is around the King III responsibilities. My former mayor of Ekurhuleni, now honorable, talked about King III. You're right, King III is it's imperative that we comply with King III. But there are a couple of issues in this scenario that we are faced with. The first one is the public protector issues a report that has a series of findings. And we as the SABC then go to court, and remember at that time we were not sure whether this report was binding. So the Constitutional Court says, yes, it's binding. But it says that after the fact. Despite that, we looked at the findings and said, the findings are affecting an employee of the SABC. Employee who was deployed currently that time as the COO of the organization. So we said, if you are the COO, here is a report that has found you wanting. So what did he do? He stepped down from the position for about a week, or I think it was 2 to 3 weeks, to face a disciplinary session. The disciplinary session at the SABC, all process works as follows. If there is a charge, you get the employment relations group, which we call ER group, to press charges. Now, because of the nature of the event, it was a very serious case involving somebody who was very prominent, we said We don't want this to be contaminated. Let's look for an independent prosecutor or initiator in this ward, in this case. Let's look for an independent chairman. And we got an advocate to chair the process, and we got some other person to prosecute. To include, to make sure that it's independent, we did that. That's at one level. Second other level, we said that you will also make it public, such that the public can see what is happening. We went through the process, and remember that the report is not being contested here. The SFBC is not contesting the report. The report is there. We say that now that you are found wanting with this report, it becomes an employer-employee issue. And we appointed an independent advocate who took the organization through the process of disciplining Mr. Musoni. He comes out with findings and says not guilty. But in the process of those of the disciplinary, certain witnesses were called in to testify. And we found that there were disparities between what was in the report and what was ventilated at that disciplinary. And that's what triggered a review of the public protector report. So we have taken it to court for review. It's not saying that we disrespect the report. We're saying, as part of ventilating the charges against him, certain people denied, for example, being interviewed, and said, all right, we will take the report for review. However, the conclusion of that disciplinary was that he's found not guilty. I sit here now as the GCO with a disciplinary, transparent. You may want to call it a first, but that's another matter. If you want to call it a first and you have said that you have taken it to court, so that is a court matter. But before me is a report from an independent chairperson saying that he's not guilty. What do I do? Immediately I consult my legal team and ask them, in light of the SCA judgment setting aside his appointment as COO, what is the status? They say, you cannot face a disciplinary if you are not an employee, first of all. So that is settled in fact, that he's an employee. The case was not about whether he's an employee or not. It was about the process elevating him to COO, which has been set aside. So the legal opinion I get is that you put him back in his old shoes. You look for his old shoes. It was an executive director, a group executive, corporate affairs, which was stakeholder relations. So we, as we have said here, looked around and said, as an organization, where is the best place to put Mr. Musoni? No one in court or any public forum has said that as group executive stakeholder, which is now corporate affairs, is incapable of doing that job. So it only came to reason that we put him back where he belongs. The incumbent there is Bessie Tugwana, capable broadcaster, and we have projects, a couple of projects that we are running at the SABC, many of which include, the list includes the following. We have the DTT project. We have the project to introduce local content specifically on SABC3. We have the issue about new businesses, because we are looking at our revenue streams and we're seeing the traditional revenue streams of advertising and TV licenses have reached the peak. So we're looking for new businesses. Of course, we can't share that with you here because it's information that is of, commercial sensitivity. We have a project to look at the alignment of the organization, SABC as an organization, because as a result of the findings of the Auditor General, many of them were because the organization had grown and systems had mutated in such a way that we had silos. So we are reorganizing it. That's why you'll see name changes happening. Stakeholder and provinces is now corporate affairs, because we found there was a misalignment between stakeholder and provinces and marketing. They worked in different directions, yet they were doing the same thing. So there are these projects that we are implementing. Another one is the transformation specifically around supply chain management in the areas of information technology and and technology supply. These areas have not been properly, they are not properly representing previously disadvantaged people. So those are things we have put in projects. We say Mambesi then can move to that project office because the board approved the project management office in the GCO's office. So she was placed there. So in short, I as acting GCO was in a quandary. There's an employee matter at hand that arises from a public protector report. The employee is taken through a disciplinary and the employee is found not to be guilty. What should I do? The only reasonable thing at that time was to put him back in his old shoes. And legal, my legal team gave me that advice. The issue is about...
You said the only thing?
The only legal. I mean, legal gave me an opinion that legally you cannot put him in any worse position than he was previously. The set aside from COO meant that he gets away from the CEO position, but he's still an employee, so put him back in his old shoes. So we look at it as a business and say, what is the best place he can be? And remember, no one, whether it's a court or even the board, has found him incapable of doing his affair, I mean his job as GE Corporate Affairs, what was previously his role of stakeholder, with an addition of marketing. So it's in this light that we say that this was the best decision that we could take. Somebody has asked, what is his salary? And what? I'm a bit sensitive in this area because that's also in an employee area. Suffice it to say that if you look at the annual report, which will be ventilated next week, his salary is reported there as an executive director. But the negotiations after the set aside is something that I would be very coy in talking about, because remember it's a sensitive issue between employer and employee. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they are still responding, Honorable Shifamba. Doctor?
Thanks, Chair. The question on DC charges, disciplinary hearing charges. The charges we followed, because the question was, we drafted the charges, how did we do that, and we followed what? All the charges we followed for that or prescribed to the DC committee were listed by the judge. So we gave them that as a brief, that the judge wants you to look on 1, 2, 3. We didn't draft ours. Everything was from the judge. Then the issue of asking for the report from the disciplinary hearing. Yes, we'll submit that to this committee. On our side, we have put that report online. So since we finished the DC, we published the report online. So it's already there for public consumption. The Chairperson, I think I have to emphasize that we, as the board, are appointed by this committee. And through our shareholder, who's the Ministry of Communication, we account to this committee. And we report to this committee. There was a question of meetings for the board and Do we correlate and what? If you check on our annual report, and maybe the company secretary has the figures, from all odds, we have met all meetings that any normal or formal board would have met. There's no non-compliance of meeting our committee meetings. That's board meetings and committee meetings. And I want to emphasize that, honorable members, when we came in as the board, we were given task to turn around the SABC. We were given a task to pay for the loan that this committee granted us through NetBank. And any board in any company or any institution that is in crisis, Chairperson, will not meet the minimum compliance of governance. I understand the honorable member was mentioning the company law and King III. And this is what, through our company secretary, in each and every meeting we're reminded for. And we stress this and emphasize to our executives to flow this down, the compliance. That is why even today, if you call the Auditor General tomorrow, which when we arrive as this board, the SABC was not audited by the Auditor General. It was an independent company. We are the ones, this board, that brought in the Auditor General, because this is the auditing voice of South Africa. If you call them tomorrow, Chairperson and Honorable Member, they will tell you about the adherence to the compliance of this board to run the SABC. Now, if a board is told about crisis, first thing that comes to your mind is governance. And that will reflect on your reportings. Do we submit the quarterly reports, Chairperson and honorable members? Yes, we do. And in all, each and every quarterly report, that's where your governance, your overseeing, your financials will be reflected. So as you mentioned, Chairperson, that maybe some of these issues will need to be categorized so that we come and clear them one by one or by groups. Because maybe when we submit a report, there's no enough time for honorable members to go through it as a report. So we did the first two mandates that we were given to pay off the loan and to turn around the corporation as this board. If there's an issue of implementing the public protectors recommendations, remember when we arrived, I think it was 3-4 months down the line as a new board, we were thrown with this report. And we can't sit here and say it doesn't belong to us. It belonged to us. That's why we drafted the implementation plan and sent to the public protector in 2014. To say public protect, this is how we're going to implement the report. And the public protector gave us the response that I've received your implementation plan. And all these, Chairperson, we report them on our quarterly reports when we bring our quarterly reports here, that we have drafted the implementation plan. Now, where we got stuck with the public protector's report, Chairperson, is the highlight that we received during the disciplinary hearing as instructed by the court. Remember, the disciplinary hearing is from a recommendation of the public protector's report. I understand that some of the members were saying we formulated the DC or we came up with the DC. It's part of the implementation to the public protector's report. Then we got instruction from the court, from the judge, to say, I want you to conduct the disciplinary hearing as recommended. That is why we were even mentioned on the Constitutional Court when the chief judge was giving the verdict about Nkandla, that the SABC implemented the recommendation of the public protector by conducting the disciplinary hearing. We were mentioned there. So I don't understand if members have ideas of we don't want to follow the public protector's report. Then we followed that. We said to the independent panel, we don't have to formulate. Remember, we are contradicted in this issue. The judge has stipulated, we said as the board, do we agree that as is from the judge, these are the charges, we're going to give the brief to the disciplinary hearing. And it was done. Now, the highlights came during that process, Chairperson, that from the 14 witnesses, almost the top four or five of them, if I'm not mistaken, they said when the investigators of the disciplinary hearing calling them to say, look, this is per instruction on the recommend, this is the report, come and witness. They said they've never met any investigator from the public protector. They have never been consulted. One of them gave us an affidavit, Chairperson, which is here, that no, you're calling me for the wrong things. I, in fact, went to the public protector to complain about the acting CEO, Mr. Nicholson. Here is my complaint, not Mr. Thawudi Mutsweni. So I'm implicated on the wrong report. So that's where we started to be puzzled to say, what is happening here? Because from the 14 witnesses, I think we received 4 or 5. That is why now when the report came of the disciplinary hearing and cleared Mr. Mutsweni, we said it as a board, now we're sitting with a problem. We seek for legal advice. This is showing you and this House, Chairperson, that how compliant we were following our steps. We didn't sit as a board and say, yeah, which step do we go? Let's take this to review and what. We asked for the legal advice. And now, whether the legal company, Chairperson, or the legal team that were appointed is whose firm or what, but we seek for the legal advice. That is why we took this to review. On top of that, Chairperson, we're still following, even though this is on review. That is why now when this appeal set down the position appointment of Mr. Mutsweni to the COO, we followed it. We told him to step down. Now, the legal minds will tell you, Chairperson and honorable members, that when the judge rule or the court rule to step down the appointment because of irregular procedures or whatever mentioned there, the court or the judge is not stepping down today. It's not stepping down when the court or the judge was announcing at that date. It's stepping down the appointment. So which means the first day while you were appointing that person. So now that's where you looked at the labor relations. Who was that person when the judge stepped the appointment of the COO? That person was the employee of the SABC. That's when now, as the board, we said, executives, this is your person. From what, as the board, according to Broadcasting Act, the board recommends to the minister, the three executives, the COO, the CFO, and the CEO. Then we said, from our side, where we recommended the appointment of the COO, where we're in charge of this level of the Broadcasting Act, the court is saying we have followed irregular procedures. We're stepping this employee. Had it happened that Chairperson, Mr. Mtshweneng, was an outsider, we were going to consult Mr. Mtshweneng and said, our employees. Now, as the employer and the employee relationship, where we employed you as the board, the court is saying it was irregular. Then, and sort it from there. But now the position here of setting down the legal readings and interpretation is that this person, as the employee of the SABC, where you board, took over and appoint him to the COO, I'm setting that as irregular. So that is why we handed it to the executives to say, he's your employee. And that's what the acting GCO was trying to explain, to say he looked for the legal advice, to say, now I am faced with Labor Relations Act. And now Labor Relations Act, internally, I will assume, as the CEO myself, the previous CEO, I will consult my HR, my ER, if I have that, or labor relations, first, before I even get a legal mind from outside or advice from outside. So I think that's what the acting CEO was trying to say, Chairperson. So all of the other questions that is the board fit? I think from where I'm standing, Chairperson, when you want to analyze and assess the fitness of the board, you analyze it and assess it from compliance. Because compliance will give you the company law, will give you King 3 code, will give you PFMA, and all related acts and legislations. That's where you'll analyze the fitness of the board. Yes, you're right, Honorable Chairperson. The fitness of the board is not analyzed or assessed through individual ideas. It's analyzed through governance, as we have mentioned, as other honorable members were mentioning there, and compliance. So once you don't see any light of compliance to the institution, which is this authority, this house, that's when you start to trigger problem, that this board has a problem. So, Chairperson, I think from my side, those are the few I try to highlight and answer.
Thank you very much. We hear you, but leave that question to the members. The question of the fitness of the board and all of that. The members will engage, but thanks for your contribution on it. Members, it's now time for lunch, unless you want us to run to 5 o'clock without lunch. Can we break for lunch? 30 minutes. So meaning we'll be back at 2. Thank you very much. Thank you.